The Holy Gospel is taken from the 13th chapter of Matthew. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is the largest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this story, we miss 2 verses in the Matthew text. And here's what the verses say. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast from a woman that a woman took and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. That's the last part we have. And then what's missing is this. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. I'm not sure why they chose to leave that behind, but it's, to me, it's super important. In fact, it's super important for all parables, I believe. So that word parable means, you know, parabolas. It means to throw, and it means to throw aside. Like you might throw a seed, or like you might, you know, flick a rubber band in the air. That's the idea, that it has the action verb of throwing and kind of word, like here. And so parables are stories that Jesus threw out. The kingdom of heaven is like, here, I'm trying to get you to understand this. Let me tell you a story. It's like this. And it's like this. And it's like this. And he keeps throwing and throwing those stories out. And part of the nature of any story is there's kind of a mystery. You're a part of it and you're not. There's truth, but it's not truth like 2 plus 2 is 4, and gravity will make that rubber band come down, or anything else you throw up will come down, unless you go up past our gravitational field. Anyway, I'm getting too scientific. Jesus didn't get that scientific. But that's the stories have a way of leading to mystery, to God's mysterious love for us. And why I said those verses, or picked up on those verses, that foundation of the world, foundation is katabolos. It means throwing down. So both a parable is a story that Jesus threw, but what Jesus says, and to fulfill what the prophet said, to fulfill what has been in the Old Testament, to fulfill what has been since the beginning, and this is the key part, I think, since the beginning, when God threw down creation, threw down this world that we're in right now, that I'm standing on, that you're sitting on right now, this world, the foundation. God threw this mysterious place, and this place is a mystery. This is an amazing place to live in. Now, I know that, because I was reminded of that yesterday when Beth and I went with Isaiah and my brother from Texas and his family. We went out to Ruby Beach. Who's been to Ruby Beach? Oh, Well, some of you haven't seen one of the best places in creation then yet. You ought to check that out. It's a drive, but it's worth the drive. And we had a sunny day. It was truly spectacular. We stopped at Lake Quinault first, sat on the lake shore and had a nice subway lunch and just enjoyed that mysterious creation. I love water. I think water, just sitting by water, is so calming. And that's it's almost primeval, you know, like when creation started in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and there was water, and God separated the land from the water. I mean, it's foundational. It's where it all started, in the beginning. That's how it is for me, sitting by water. It's like that. It brings me back. It centers me every time. Every time. Unless I get hit by a big wave. You know, then that wakes you up. And that's okay. Creation can wake you up sometimes. And that's why I like this image on the front of the bulletin. And I had circled that top bird. You know, when you're at a spot where you just get it, where you see everything and you just get it, and you know, I am this creature here with some other fellow creatures, and God has created this great place, usually sunshine is involved, and it's a beautiful day. This is what it is. This is who I am, a creature of God. I was listening to that song that Beth and Terry wrote, and I hadn't heard it before, so I may have had a little tear come into my eye as I was thinking about our daughter and as I was thinking about other people who have experienced things in this world that aren't, I'm sitting at the seashore and it's all good, or I'm going to Ruby Beach, like I mentioned, and we sat there for 2 hours on some nice warm rocks. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm at a beach is find a piece of driftwood and try and hit it. You know, 15 feet away and try and hit it. We must have done that for 2 hours. And let the ocean just continually do its thing, because three of them had not touched the Pacific Ocean. So it was wonderful for them to just stick their feet in to the Pacific Ocean and experience the power of that ocean, because it's a big body of water. It's the biggest. But as we were sitting there, and as I was thinking about Grace and her decisions to make and some struggles with that, or I was thinking about Paul Paris, who died, you know, was a member here. He always sat in the back, or relatively in the back, and he was deeply embedded in Scripture. Very, very faithful man. Loved Jesus, was all in for Jesus, and loved our place here because he felt welcome. And then he got cancer. And it was aggressive, and it was surprising, and that's hard. That's hard. When you're living on this earth and you have that kind of pain and suffering, that's hard. But what he reminded me of is like God throwing that story of reminder of mystery. He would always say, I'd give him a hug. You know, I'm a hugger. And I'd always say, how's it going? And he'd say, it's going all right. Or he'd say, I'm struggling. But he'd always end the sentence with, but I know Jesus is with me. I know Jesus is with me. I know Jesus is with me. And that's, all you can say is that's mysterious. Because, and here's the connection between that. As I was coming here, I talked with a pastor friend, my Baptist turned Lutheran friend Dean, and he said he, because he had, they have a 9 o'clock service 2 hours ahead. So I said, "Well, what'd you preach about?" He said, "Well, I preached about resurrection," and he's using the Romans text, which is that great text. If you read that through, use that as a prayer this week for yourself, because the Spirit helps us. We know all things work with God for us. And what he said, these are the two things he said, that love is resurrection. Love is resurrection. and that God has preordained love for all of us. And that's a mystery. And Paul, when he would come, even in the midst of bone-crushing cancer, could articulate that mystery. I know Jesus is with me. That's resurrection. He knows what's next. And sometimes, those are the folks we have to listen to the most. Those who are in those moments, and we don't get it, but He gets it. I've got cancer. This is the end of my life. I've been on this earth until this moment. But I know I have hope beyond my last breath. I have Jesus. I will be resurrected with Jesus. Another mysterious way of God communicating to us. We are loved. We are these wonderful creatures who are in this tree, or we are these wonderful creatures who are on this earth, and we are loved by this mysterious God of ours, who has thrown down creation and put us in it and said, enjoy, be fruitful, and multiply. Stuff's going to happen. Bad stuff like cancer is going to happen. But I'll send you reminders. I'll let you know. Look at the birds in the air, in the trees. Sit by a lake. Sit by the ocean and know that I am God. Listen. Listen to the prophets that are around you. I'll send you messages all the time. I'll send you a guy with cancer who's going to remind you that Jesus is with you until the end. God is with you. God's love is for you. It's been preordained from the throwing down of creation. The kingdom of heaven is for you, and it's for you, and it's for you. It's for all of us. Those are the reminders. That's the mystery. That's God's love for us. Amen.